It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than the price of booze going up.
Ooh.
I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, Drunks in the New School of Fools and Scamming Scammers. Fun show tonight.
Fun.
So, this made headlines last week, but my friend took me. We ran out of time last week. That's the problem with this show. We're always running out of time.
Yeah, we are, because we got lots to say. We got big mouths.
We do another 3 hours after the show goes off the air.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, we've done that.
We've done it so lots of times. Like, we'll be like 15 minutes and like, this is like another show.
Yeah,
we're
like
just hanging out. We're just kicking back. Yeah.
Turn it back on.
Okay, I will. So last year, my friend took me to Jets training camp. This year, she took me to Jets training camp. A couple things before I get into that part. It's interesting to see regular callers, like on sports talk radio, become like celebrities.
Yes.
Like there's Ira from Staten Island, who's a big Jets fan. Apparently, he goes to the road games and everything. So, like, all the fans waiting to get in know Ira, who's in the same line as a fan.
That's
and like, the media knows Ira.
Yeah.
Some of the Jets personnel know Ira.
I never knew this.
No. So I'm thinking, you know, someplace, you know, Joe's girl, Trucker Tom, Lisa from Canada, they all might be some celebrity someplace that we don't even know about.
I mean,
watch yourself, guys.
Yeah, really. Gotta get your autograph books and your Sharpies ready, kids.
I mean, it was just kind
of going Hollywood.
It was just kind of interesting to see. So they're used to, I'm trying to find where the heck I was. Because I took notes.
You were at Jets camp.
Yeah. I mean, there used to be somebody, I used to, like, on WFAN, which is the local sports talk station. Yeah, there used to be Doris from Rego Park. Do you remember Doris from Rego Park?
No.
She was, like, a Mets fan, but she was, like, old and coughed all the time. Hey, Doris.
Doris from Rego. Where else would Doris be from
Rego
Park?
And, you know, she would call, and everybody knew her, and she really didn't have any point. Yeah. But she was old and lung incapacitated, so they always took her calls. So one time I'm doing a mic, and I said,
she was there.
No, and like a joke didn't work or something. It's like, oh, I'm choking like Doris from Rego Park. And one comic to this day still thinks it's the funniest thing he's ever heard.
Oh, that's funny.
Did anybody laugh?
He did.
But what I'm getting at is because that would made the whole, you could care less if nobody, if for him to laugh, that made the whole, that
still
made
brings
the whole
it up.
Night.
Yes.
Made the whole night.
Yes.
Still brings it up.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that our fans are bigger celebrities than we know. Still right. Going to treat you like crap, but, but you know, that's what it is. All right. So part of what they had this year, which was a little different, they had a Q&A. Question and answer.
Right.
With a couple of the Jets fans and Commissioner Roger Goodell, which they didn't have last year.
Okay.
So there's only like 150 of us, and we're in this nice room, and we can ask them questions.
That's great.
Yeah. So it was Matt Forte, Jamal Adams, oh, and Bob Wischusen, who's the voice of the radio voice of the New York Jets, who I saw walking by later on. I say, hey, Bob, you know, I really enjoy your work, because I do enjoy his work. You know, I've talked about this before. If I don't really like your work, I'm just going to ignore you.
Right. No, you're not a butt kisser.
No, but I think he's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
He's a good listen, which is not easy when you have an awful team like the Jets.
But he's going to make it interesting. You got to make mediocrity interesting.
Well, that's what we try to do,
Joe. That's all mutual appreciation.
Yeah, exactly. So the fan in front of me asked a question that made national headlines. He asked about CTE, which is the concussions that all these players are going through. And he asked, and they discussed it. And Jamal Adams said, you know, I can't think of a better place. What did he say? I can speak for a lot of guys that play the games. Adams said, we live and breathe it. This is what we're so passionate about. Literally, if I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field. And that's not a lie. But again, I'm all about making the game safer. But he said he would die on the field.
Yeah.
And he got applause from that, from the fans. It was kind of awkward. Like, I don't remember if I applauded that or not, but I remember commenting to my friend afterwards, go, you know what, that's really weird. I go, I can only assume he's saying that because he's so young. He's a rookie. But
how old would you say he was?
He's 22, I think.
All right, yeah.
He's a young guy. But I said, I guarantee his mom doesn't like that answer.
No.
You know, and he got some backlash. And that quote made headlines all over the place. And he got some backlash about it. It was awkward, though. And it kind of reminded me, I don't want to get into it right now, but like the whole comments that Trump made to the Suffolk County police, where he said, you know, don't be so gentle.
Yes.
With, you know, when you put them in the car. We're like,
No,
I'm talking about where you feel compelled to applaud. Like, I don't know if all, because
that's
what I'm talking about. Because the police came out against it afterwards, but you saw a lot of police at the moment applauding. So I think there's just like kind of like weird, awkward things sometimes.
Your boss makes a really awkward joke at a presentation, and you have to laugh. It's like
you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do with that.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different, but I kind of felt that way about it. It's like, well, why are we applauding that? I guess we're applauding his passion.
Well, because people like to say, you know, oh, the kid's got a lot of heart. He'd rather die on the field,
right? But he got backlash from that. Let's see. Keena McMahon, the ex-wife of the late Steelers offensive lineman Justin Sterziak, I'm probably saying that wrong, was diagnosed with CYE after his death in 2003, and said Adam's comments was as if he defecated on her husband's grave.
Oh, what?
About saying he'd be happy to die on the field.
Oh, wow.
McMahon officially divorced him 9 months. All right. She goes, I don't even know what to say. This guy, Adams, doesn't know what it's coming down the pipeline. He has no idea what dealing with someone who has CTE is like. Former Jets quarterback Glenn Foley said Adams made an uneducated statement. Adams is 20-something years old, stir-crazy right now in the New York spotlight, Foley said. I don't blame him for saying that, but to ignore CTE is to ignore facts. That's not the message the NFL wants. And Goodell was like, Goodell should have squashed it immediately, but he didn't. He kind of like, well, you know, we're doing a lot of things.
What does that mean?
He should have said, you know, Jamal, no, I mean, we understand your exuberance, but we don't want you to die on the field. But he didn't say that.
Yeah.
So then I had a question about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is the former 49ers quarterback.
Thank you.
We've talked about him on the show.
Right.
Who is protesting violence, what he perceived as biased violence against African Americans by the police.
Oh, yes.
So he, on a preseason game, I think it was, he decided not to stand for the national anthem, and we discussed that on the show.
I forgot his name, but I know what you're
talking
about.
I don't want to rehash that.
Or that right.
Again, we all gave our take on that, and I don't remember what it was, but you can listen to the old shows and forget.
It was brilliant.
Yes, it was. All points.
All points.
We're brilliant.
We couldn't have looked any smarter.
So listen.
If you can find it. So, but I wanted to ask, because you had Jamal Adams, Matt Forte, and Roger Goodell. So I wanted to ask them, because he can't get a job now. Colin Kaepernick cannot get a job. He's still a young man. He took his team to the Super Bowl. He had a bad year last year, but he's very talented, still young.
Right.
If he showed up in Jets training camp today, he would be the most talented quarterback on the roster.
If the hot dog guy showed up in Jets.
Fair enough. But he's not trying out.
But wait, is there a crowd involved? Yeah.
But there's other rosters where Colin Kaepernick would get. He's not even getting a look for number two to be a backup.
Wow.
Some of the owners are saying, well, we have to see what type of backlash. They said, well, we have to see what type of backlash we've gotten. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You guys have on your roster people who abuse wives, drunk drivers. We had Michael Vick who killed dogs. He was welcomed back in the league. So this guy made a statement, whether you agree with it or not.
But no, forgiveness for this guy.
A felony.
Right.
And he can't even, and you're worried about what the fans think. So I asked Roger Goodell, I said, you know, here's this guy, very talented, guy makes a stand. I said to him, I go, whether you agree with it or not, he can't get a job right now. What type of message do you think it is sent? I said to Matt Forte and Jamal Adams, I said, does it squash your initiative to speak out something that you might hold important to you, but it may be controversial? And I asked Roger Goodell, I go, what type of message do you think it's sending to the youth that if you speak out for what you believe in, there could be negative repercussions?
Right.
and Matt Forte, which I think is a valid question. I'm not saying, what do you think about this statement?
No.
I'm saying, you know, the guy spoke out.
Yeah.
And we're always, this show's always going to support speaking out. We don't always support the message. Often, we don't.
Do players have First Amendment rights?
Right. And so Matt Forte and Jamal Adams were basically like, well, and you got to remember, it's a fan forum, so I can't really go back and forth with them.
Yes.
So they're like, well, there's a time and a place for everything, and you're representing the team and the community and all. I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, but you have this platform. This is the time and the place. If there's something that you deem important, which is a social injustice.
Right.
And Roger Goodell was like, and this is what made a lot of headlines. What did he say? This is what made headlines from Goodell. He said, I'm so proud of all our players and what they do in our community and the people that they are. I do believe players in this league can have a huge influence on our community. We saw it last year. A number of players have gone out into communities and worked with law enforcement. But that wasn't what I asked him.
No.
I'm not saying the players don't do great things. And Kaepernick said he was going to donate $1 million to the communities. I think so far he's donated $700,000. So in a sense, he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
But my question wasn't like, well, do you think your players should do more in the community? The question is, what type of message do you think this sends that if you speak out, you have this huge platform, you could be really talented?
Yeah.
And here's the deal. All these fans that are talking about protesting, because I didn't want Michael Vick on the Jets.
No.
I didn't want, because I don't like what he did, but I also knew he paid his price and whatever. And he committed a crime. He went, you know. Michael,
right.
But
here's
the thing with fans. If he's winning on your team, you're going to root for him.
Yeah.
The vast majority. There'll be a few principled people. Like, I don't think Joe is a big fan of the stand Colin Kaepernick took. But I think if, you know, Eli went down and they signed Kaepernick and Kaepernick leads them to the Super Bowl, Joe's going to be cheering
for
him.
You want to know something? If he's consistently not standing for this,
Well, no, he didn't. He did it once. He did it once. But I still think if he was winning, you would overlook it. Because, again, people go, well, you know, oh, the violent protest. This wasn't a violent protest. This was very quiet.
So, very peaceful.
Exactly. So you just don't want dissension. Not you personally. Some people just don't want dissension. But my point is, I think a lot of people, well, he's doing well for my team. Well, he's a jerk, but he's my jerk, if that's the way you look at these
things. Yeah.
And, again, you on these teams, you got people that smack around their women, have abused their kids, drug users, kill animals. We know this. They're on current NFL rosters. This guy made a stand.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing ever?
Yeah.
It was kind of blatant that these other guys didn't do it on national TV.
You know, well, it's hard to reach into the stands and smack around your wife.
But you got to realize how bad optics are now.
I mean, well, I think that might be it.
Trump at every turn. But I'm saying about optics. You know, most optics. And in this day and age, even though what these other players have done were obviously is reprehensible.
I would say they're more reprehensible.
All right. So
I would say you smack around your wife, you're more reprehensible.
All right, even there, the optics alone aren't.
Well, that's what caused Ray Rice. Ray Rice, there was actually video of him with his girlfriend wife in the elevator.
So it's a whole thing where, yeah, it's equally distasteful, but due to optics, you know, it's what Kaepernick did was in the eyes of fans or the country,
some fans
was worse.
Yeah,
committing crimes.
All right, we'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
We are back. You're listening to Davin's Den. Thank you guys for hanging out and waiting your turn.
Look, okay, so I talked over an intro.
Nobody even knows what I'm talking about. I'm going to edit that out. Shut up. You are just a hot mess. Just a hot mess. I'm going to do some drunks in the news if Pip can contain herself.
Can't.
Just shut up. Oh, my God. You are annoying. Ready, Joe?
Yes.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, as we like to do with our Benjamin Franklin, when we do the Drunks in the News, we like to do our Benjamin Franklin drinking term. Tonight's drinking term. This is why men drink, because of you.
We're talking about the drinking term, and you fumbled a little, and it was
because you ruin everything.
I'm the ruiner. Yes.
I don't like when mommy and daddy fight.
It's okay, Joe.
I'm going to get a spanking.
I'll get Big Jim to do it for you. The Benjamin Franklin drinking term is took his drops.
Took his drops.
When you get drunk, he took his drops.
Like, you took your medicine.
I guess, yeah.
He took his drops, or maybe that's how he fell.
Yeah, really.
Stagger.
I like that.
That's all right. So, a little political drinking tonight. Donald Trump wants to renegotiate our trade deals. We know this. That was part of his campaign.
Right.
Hasn't backed away from that. American steel and aluminum have been negatively affected by the global economy, our steel. And aluminum.
Right.
Trump is considering putting tariffs and taxes on imports. This could lead to a trade war. Europe has indicated if there are tariffs on European steel, they will retaliate against bourbon. Also, if American aluminum became more expensive because we stopped importing cheaper aluminum beer in cans, it could go up in price. I would think that would also affect soda, but I don't know.
Probably, yes.
A group of American brewers wrote Trump and asked him not to go down this road. And this among them were from Heineken, Anheuser-Busch, and Sam Adams.
Oh, okay.
Bourbon and beer industries are already publicly worried about the impending moves and have signaled to their members that most changes made by the Trump administration could adversely impact their production and profits. 95% of bourbon is made in Kentucky.
Of course.
Kentucky is the home state of leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell. Bourbon is targeted to send a message. Bourbon makers are concerned tariffs will cut off much of the European market and make it more expensive to make. The cost increase will likely be passed on down to American consumers. So I think this is a great example of how we are now we're a globalized economy.
Yeah.
And it's nice to say, you know, buy American, and we all want to do it. But the fact of the matter is it has repercussions that people don't like to hear about.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about oh, you know, stop importing the Chinese stuff. Yeah, but we kind of like the Chinese stuff at Walmart.
We like cheap stuff.
We like cheap stuff. And people who don't have a lot of money, so it's like a cycle. So yeah. you got to be careful what you do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he shouldn't do these things, but I think he has to. Wait.
Well, you know, it's like with the trade deals, you know. Yeah, you know, it goes up, but basically anytime you know, it's all negotiation. You start out with a negotiate, we're not going to pay, you know, we are going to renegotiate these terms, we're going to do this, and then you get to the table and you work something out fair. Right. Art of negotiation is everybody walks away from the table with a fair deal.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's done. So, you know, on that end, you know, it's like, well, we like our Chinese products. We're still going to have our Chinese products.
Well, I think Trump is just I think he's finding out it's not so easy. You know, he hasn't really had to worry about globalized economy, you know, for his businesses. He wasn't, you know, I guess steel, which he bought overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a lot. Yeah. They all do it, and they all do it. They say we're gonna make it better for the American worker. But they all do it.
But yeah. You know, but still, yeah, he's not that experienced. But he's addressing the situation. You know, at least he's addressing the situation.
So should Trump save the metal industry at the expense of the domestic alcohol companies?
But look at it this way. Yeah, he should. But look at the expense. How much is it going to drive up per unit cost?
But we don't know.
You know, it shouldn't. What is it going to do? 10 cents?
Yeah, but
50 cents.
But well, no, I think with bourbon it would be more because it's more expensive. I think,
but if you're gonna buy bourbon, and now I bought Jack Daniels whiskey, not bourbon. However, I bought a bottle of Jack Daniels last week. I spent it was a good bottle, but $54. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So let's say that it on the economies of that scale, it drives the price per bottle to $2. So now instead of 46, it's $48. At that price, is that going to be that much of a deal breaker?
Well, see, I think you may have a point there because you look at it; it's a sin tax.
It's
is what it is because they tax the crap out of cigarettes, and yeah. Cigarettes are very expensive, and people still smoke.
But you also look at your unit, you know, per unit cost. I mean, if it's gonna, you know, if you're looking at 1,000, you know, well, it's gonna drive it up by 10%. Yeah, but over if they're selling millions and millions of bottles and cans, that per unit cost is not that much more.
But how much is he really saving? We don't know how much he's really saving the metal industry.
Yeah, it's really hard to argue this point because we don't know what the price points
what the numbers
are on either side.
But I do think there is a chance that this could hit the pocketbooks of some of his bigger supporters.
Well, you know what? I mean, as far as bourbon, yeah. That's
no, I'm talking about the beer, too.
No, but I was going to say that's more of a luxury item right. because you know that it's higher priced anyway. But this, the beer, that hits that all price points.
If, you know what? If it's people. If it's an extra 5 cents a can, I think everybody's fine with it.
Yeah.
And personally, that's what I think it's going to be because think about the unit cost over thousands and thousands and thousands of, you know, bottles and cans or, you know, bottles of bourbon and cans that are made, you know, that unit.
Yeah, but you know what? But there has to be something to it if all these. All these distilleries and brewmasters are writing to the president. There has to be something to it
because yeah. they don't want to lose any market share over it. So any hit to
bourbon mm-hmm. might lose market share, but what the beer companies are saying is it's going to cost us more to make that.
Well, and they say they have to pass it on. But my whole thing is
I think if it goes up like 50 cents a can, say when
I don't think it would be if that was even a slight prospect. As the legislation goes through, they're not going to put that through.
No.
If they're going to say, look, well, because obviously they just can't do it, even though Trump always tries, but they just can't do it. Like, I'm not stupid, I know.
Well, those are two different things.
But still, it has to go and it has to be approved and stuff like that. So when everything starts to come out in the wild, how much is it going to be more? Well, it's going to be maybe 5%
well, you know
of unit cost.
He can negotiate. You know? That's a lot. I think he can negotiate trade deals.
You can.
Yeah.
No. I'm saying, like, I don't know how much of it he has to put through Congress because I think that was some of the complaints about what Obama did.
Right. I think he can.
I think Trump has leeway.
Yeah, but if he does, you know, he is a businessman and knows how something, you know, with the effect of the unit cost.
I don't think he cares, though, because you got to remember, this is a guy who's never drank, according to his own claims.
Right.
And this is a guy whose brother died of alcoholism.
Yeah, but this is...
I don't think this is, Donald Trump might look at it as like, you know what? Good. People shouldn't be drinking anyway, because apparently the death of his brother had a real effect on him.
Well, you think he's personalizing this particular thing, or maybe he's just thinking about trying to save another American industry?
I
think there could be a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing, I don't think it that much because basically, also he made a comment that how would it affect soda? It could affect soda as well, you know.
Well, we'll see, but your booze might cost you more, or it might not.
This is Davin's Den.
We are back. Thank you for hanging out. We're going to do some School of Fools as soon as I find the theme.
Ring around the rosy, bucket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools. I know. The Three Rivers Independent School Board of Trustees in South Texas approved the policy which would allow for paddles to be used as corporal punishment against misbehaving students. Corporal punishment is defined by the Texas Classroom Teachers Association as deliberate infliction of physical pain by hitting, paddling, spanking, slapping, or any other physical force used as a means of discipline.
Sounds like an ad I once saw.
Does sound like a good time. Yeah. How much does that cost? Let's move to Texas.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
There's no red ball in the mouth, boys. Stop that.
What's the problem? Parents have the opportunity to opt in or out of the policy by providing both written and verbal consent, according to the Caller Times. Students whose parents approved of corporal punishment will receive one paddling for his or her infraction when they misbehaved at school. If the parent is not comfortable with it, that's the end of the discussion. The school's district superintendent, Mary Springs, told the Caller Times. I'm surprised that paddling is still an option in public school.
I'm shocked. Yeah. I had no idea.
I guess it's been a while since we've been in school.
Yeah, really.
I thought it was only the nuns that were allowed to beat the tar out of students. I didn't know.
It's God's work.
Yes.
What would Jesus do? Smack the living crap out of you.
Right.
And you're going to like it.
Peace, love, and a red backside. That's what he said.
Could you see that? Father, I have disobeyed you. What are you doing, my Lord? Say, look at this piss, not just for ping pong.
I think the big change in society, though, is that you can opt out of this.
Yeah, that's true. It's like you don't have to just put up with whatever the school decides anymore.
Yeah, I was surprised that there's an opt-out plan.
Well, it's a big thing. I mean, if you feel that your child, you know, you don't want that for your child, you do have the option to, you know.
Right, but I'm saying out. I don't think that was always the option.
I don't know.
I don't really think so. I think it was just if you were bad, you were getting a whooping.
I would opt out.
Well, yeah, I would too.
Not me. You go to school, you behave, and it's a deterrent.
Yeah, but what is misbehaving? I don't need some teacher to decide. What are the infractions?
Well, that's what you would ask. What would be the infraction?
Well, it's a little late after your kid has a red bottom. Well,
but if you have the option to opt out, they are going to send you something. And you get things in the mail from the school probably every week. And they would send.
I get nothing in the mail. It's email now, Joe.
Okay, well, then email then.
No,
you would get something in email, and then you would.
I could imagine the hens if that came in.
Uh-huh.
The paddling. Oh my God, there'd be a mutiny.
Oh yeah.
But still, obviously, you would have to send out an email stating what they wanted to do if you want to opt out, and what would constitute receiving the punishment.
You know, I don't want somebody else hitting my kid. Tell me what my kid do. Punish my kid, and I wouldn't do it. But if somebody's going to hit the kid, I'll hit the kid.
Yeah, I think that kind of punishment should remain at home.
Yeah.
They should send home, they should do the things that they've been doing. Send the kid to the principal, you know, put him in timeout, you know, do the other kinds of things that they normally do, and then get word home to the parents, this is what they did, and let the parents decide what kind of punishment they're going to give
them. Well, they're giving them the option to opt out. So
yeah,
if you feel that way.
The parents are shirking their duty.
But mm-hmm. if you feel that way, then that's your prerogative. If you feel that your child, if they misbehave in school, and it would be the same thing that you would do, and you're not there to do it, and there is somebody there to discipline them, then you would go for it.
Were you guys ever hit in school?
No.
No, I was. I never acted.
So why are you so? But hey, did you see kids get hit?
I think I got watched kids get a swat a couple of times
from a teacher.
But I'll tell you, I never
saw that.
I had a teacher in school, and this
Mike
is,
Tyson.
Well, almost. He was an ex linebacker for the Lions.
Oh my God!
And if he caught you smoking, you had a choice: either being brought down to the dean or taking a punch.
Ooh.
And everybody would, and you made sure he wasn't around, because you would take the punch, because if you didn't take the punch, you'd be labeled a wuss, and it would be even worse. So
where is he punching you?
Probably like in the arm or the chest or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think having a grown man beating children is no.
Believe me, it kept you from smoking. So you
see,
know.
I don't think that works.
It worked.
No, I don't
it worked.
Either.
It worked.
Really?
It worked. Yeah.
That kept you from smoking?
It kept us on a watch for him, because that was.
That's different. That didn't keep you from smoking. It kept you making sure where he was.
Yeah, you made sure he wasn't caught.
That's different. That's not changing the behavior.
But if you were on your break and he was around, you wouldn't smoke, because you just didn't want to ever.
Right, but
it didn't
deter you from picking up the habit of smoking. It just deterred you from doing it in his presence.
Just made you more
still,
sneaky.
It was a deterrent in the fact that you didn't want to do that while he was around. If it was like that,
well, you were in school. You really shouldn't want to do it anyway.
Yeah, but still, you know, you were a teenager, and you know, you wanted to smoke. And if he was around,
you just smoked when he wasn't around.
Yeah.
It didn't change the behavior. It just made you, she said, sneaky. That's not really. It's not really changing the behavior.
Yeah, but still.
So it's not really work. I don't think.
But
it
gave you something to think about.
Pain. Yeah, I think.
And then you have a nice cigarette after you've been hit. Well, I earned this. How many miles for boxing gloves? Scamming scammers when we come back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
All right, we shall do some scamming scammers. Let me find the intro music. I think we had an eventful one, as I recall, last time, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, we did. Yeah, so we're looking forward to hearing this segment, because it was very good where we left off.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the intro now.
Okay.
All right, when we last left off, fake Davin had developed an ailment. He developed a keystroke.
Really?
Yes.
Really. which caused fake Davin to constantly really when he was stressed. And this did not please Jane, as she was just getting really to death. And then she was stressing me out, and the nurses were coming, and then it stopped typing. It went dead.
Was it because he was stressed out, or he just couldn't help himself.
Well, no, the stress
was
triggered
the
keystroke.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I told you she was the cause. She's a problem. So April 9th, 2017, a new development happens. The profile that she created to talk to me on Facebook disappears.
No.
Yep.
Oh, man.
And that's why they always want to get you off of Facebook to chat or on Messenger. Because
they catch on.
Well, sometimes Facebook deletes their profiles.
Yes. Yeah.
So they've invested all this time and effort, and then somebody gets wise to them. They ask the wrong person for money.
Right. And they get
deleted.
Reported and deleted.
And then she created another profile to talk to me. And it said, what did it say? It says, I love you so much. She created another Jane profile.
Oh,
it says,
wow.
I love you so much. And that went to spam and Facebook, and that got deleted.
Oh.
So.
Right. Wow, that was fast, though.
Well, yeah, apparently Facebook was not having any more of Jane's shenanigans.
Oh, my God.
So, a sad turn.
Oh, man, so that was it?
That's it.
Oh, damn it.
What are you going
to
do? Are you depressed?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happens when you dance with scammers.
I know. Really? I really very much enjoyed the keystroke.
Well, April 10th, she emails me.
Oh! Found another way in.
She did. She writes, hi, good morning. I didn't know she was doing this. I
was surprised that you just figured it was over, it was done.
Yeah.
And this whole email to you was a big surprise.
Yes. I didn't check my email.
Did it go to your spam?
No, I have an email account which is used for scamming activities.
Okay.
So
everything is spam.
Yeah. Yeah.
April 13th, she writes, hello, Davin. How are you doing?
Okay.
I still don't know this is going on.
Right.
April 14th, she writes, Davin, what is happening? You don't want to talk to me?
I don't know. You're there, Sally.
So she's probably panicking. She thinks the money.
She was almost getting the money.
Yeah.
Well, she thought she might be.
Yeah.
She thought it still lets enough warrant.
And
to
I don't even
reach
know.
Out to you again.
I think I was out of town.
Right.
I think I was in Florida when this was happening.
Right. Okay. Oh.
So
okay.
This is all unbeknownst to me. I think she actually disappeared while I was at a Tampa Bay Rays game.
You just checked and I was like, oh, nothing.
Yeah.
There?
I mean, but the problem is, because now what? A little side here. All the conversations we have disappear.
Oh, right, because the profile's gone.
The profile's gone, and Facebook Mark says this message is spam. Like they have like a little message to you that tells you this message is spam, so you can't retrieve it.
Right.
So I had to, because I didn't delete it, I had to download from Facebook my whole Facebook profile, everything.
Oh.
And it doesn't put it in date order.
Oh, no.
So I got to try to go back and find it. And that's what I've been reading to you, because I had to go back and find it. And it doesn't have her name. It has her Facebook profile number.
Oh,
and it's not all in one place.
It's a profile number.
Yeah.
It's a number.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's not all there. That's what I've been reading to you. So I had to go back.
And
plus, at this time, I was at my mother-in-law's in Florida, and they have the worst internet, so it's not downloading. It starts to download, and it stops.
Ugh. Ugh.
So that is what I was going through.
Oh, man.
April 14th, Davin, what is happening? You don't want to talk to me. April 17th, the day after Easter, I write, like a bat out of hell, me is risen. you guys get the reference there?
Of course.
Yes. Little meatloaf. Little meatloaf, little Easter.
You meatloaf lover.
Yeah, we'll come back.
This is Davin's Den.
This is Davin's Den.
All right. So, Jane, I have finally written back to Jane. It's been about a week. It's been a little bit more than a week. She's probably worried about me. April 18th, Jane writes, what happened? Tell me you know I care about you and I love you so much. Are you there? Talk to me. April 20th, I write, I guess this is done with a sad face.
What do you mean?
I wrote this. I guess this is done.
Oh.
She writes, "Hello, dear. Good morning. How was your night? I miss you so much, and I know you do. My life has been a hard one. I cry all night. I was hungried. My life was S-word.
Oh, wow. I was hungried.
S-word. Hungried. Yeah.
Then I decided to borrow $700 from school to buy some food. And I didn't know schools had like an ATM where you could just borrow what you need.
No,
interesting how she was pressing you for money, but it was available from school.
School had it.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Then I decided to borrow $700 from school to buy some food and pay my house rent and renew my internet bill. I messaged my lawyer to help me some cash. He said he broke because he went to a project in Dubai. Somebody else needs some scamming. And about my money, there I need to be there and sign a document before he start anything with the money. Because we don't have fax machines or emails where we can do this. We don't have the 21st century.
Oh, that's such a shame.
Well, it was still good enough in the 20th century.
You can't get a notary in Nigeria. What's the problem there, sweetie?
Yeah, really.
Now the school is disturbing me for the money, which I don't have.
They're disturbing.
Poking you in the arm.
Oh, you beat me to it. Yeah, yeah. Hey.
Now I'm disturbed. But I thank God you are back, and I love you so much. Darling, kissing and hugs. Tell me what happened to you. I said, honey, I'm glad you are back too. I am confused. I got a message from Facebook saying that your account has been suspended because you are not a real person. You can't prove where you are.
Oh, I got to hear the answer to that.
She said, no, hackers changed my password and began to use it. I think that was when it was blocked. I am effing real, and don't get confused, dear. A lot of language this one.
Language? Hey.
Yeah, that's pretty aggressive answer back to you.
Yeah. I go, you created another Facebook profile, and that was deleted too. She writes, yes, my picture was detected, and then they deleted me immediately. But I thank God anyways. I am not harmed by using my picture for something else. And I go, just show Facebook that you are the real deal, dear. She goes, I am fed up of there, and I can never go there again. I don't know what happens next.
Because you're not allowed.
Yeah.
Fine, you can get rid of you.
I go, nothing will happen. Facebook is very responsive.
Yes. Extremely yes.
No, they're actually not.
No, they're not.
They're not.
Oh, really?
No.
With Harvey, where they found her in a toot suite.
Yeah, how many people had a reporter?
Well, yeah.
I go, prove that you are the woman you are. You'll be back in no time. She writes, no there. I don't want to. Please try to understand me. I don't want to get myself into trouble. Remember, I am trying to live a secure life here.
Please don't make me go to Facebook. Please don't make me.
Instagram to you, woman. I go, you think Facebook would harm you in Nigeria if you tried to get your account back?
Yeah, really. Do you think that they have the Facebook police?
They don't have contacts in Western Africa. Other fake Davin does.
That's right. He's the black magic guy.
Yeah, what are you doing?
That was a big portion of it this week, yeah.
She writes, I'm not saying that, don't get me wrong. I mean about the hackers. I don't want to get into such thing again. Another hacker might hack my account, use it for something else. That's what I meant. I'm not opening it, and I'll never open it anymore. So I write, it's terrible how people would take advantage of social media and corrupt it so much as to make it harmful to innocent people. Don't you agree?
Touche on that, because she was just lying so bad.
No.
Touche.
She goes, it's terrible, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
you gotta hear, but you got to hear that in her voice. Oh, it's terrible, dear. Oh, yes, it is.
I go, why do you think somebody would do such a thing?
I can't imagine.
She goes, please, I don't want to remember what happened to me. Don't raise anything about that. Tell me what happened to you since when I left, which is typical scammer protocol.
Yeah.
Don't ask me questions. Let's talk about you.
Yeah.
When they don't have the answers, which is very often.
Yes, because and especially when they're cornered with them,
mm-hmm.
which they rarely are by a lot of other people, except with, you know, you.
I go, we must understand the criminal element so that we can defeat it. Don't you agree, dear?
And he, I mean, she is so annoyed by what you're questioning.
And Caitlin said, and Jane said, I agree, but I think it's me that will. I go, you that will what? She goes, I mean, it's not me that will do that. I go, I'm just trying to help you, dear. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the criminals win. I've dealt with many criminals over the years, and they never win. It would be foolish for one to even try. there's one of those little warnings I give, like
little foreshadowing,
like you should probably stop now.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, because it hasn't gone well for others.
No, I'm trying to let you out of this. She goes, sorry, dear. I don't want to do that anymore. I mean the Facebook. I am all right with here. I go, as you wish. It will make communication harder, though. Maybe it's time we take our relationship to the next level and have a video chat.
Oh, okay.
You know, the funny thing is that you say I'm giving them their opportunity to go, but but in the same token, you're giving them a lot of incentive to keep going.
Yep.
Well, Joe, you like to say people are responsible for their own decisions.
I understand, but that's what I'm saying. So
I'm
in
giving
the same,
her a choice.
I know, and that's exactly. So it's not all one side of the street where I'm.
Well, I got a show to write, Joe.
I know you're giving them plenty of opportunity to stay too. So don't. You know.
I can say no. I'm on to you. This is over. But then we wouldn't have tonight.
Yeah. Now we go to commercial. Right. Yeah, I get it. But just in the fact of the whole sham you're giving her,
but that is fake, David. Yes. The piece of bait that you can never quite get your mouth around. Delicious.
Succulent, even.
Succulent. April 21st, I said, hi, Jane. April 22nd, she says, hello, good morning. I can only text here. I load my internet here. I told you this once. It seems you don't trust or believe me anymore because I was sent away. Don't let that happen, dear. Don't doubt me. I can hurt you.
I go,
don't doubt me. I can hurt you. What do you mean you can hurt me? And then on April 25th, I go, do you like the movies from Nollywood?
Nollywood.
It's Nigeria. They have they're making movies. Nollywood.
Really?
Yeah. I just seen an article on it.
Oh.
Could you see you're a big star? They put your little picture in the little star in the mud.
Yeah.
And it rains, it goes away.
They're very temporary stars.
Very temporary stars. Well, your star will fade, especially when it rains.
During the rainy season, we have no stars.
Yeah, no star. We got to start all again in the spring.
Where are you going to be, Joe?
I am going to be at Dingbats with the rock band Sexy Susan Dingbats on Friday the 18th in New Jersey. So check that on out. It'll be on my Facebook page. Also, I will be with Adam Ferrara the following night on August 19th. Go to govs.com for tickets and information. And then on the 20th, I will be doing a benefit for my friend Nicole. I don't have the venue yet. She will provide that. So go to Joe Curry Comedy or Joe Curry Nation or my Facebook page, Joe Curry. All info will be there and awaiting.
You gotta love a plug where you have to do homework.
Yeah.
Thursday, August 17th, I'll be in Linden, New Jersey at the Raymond Woodbauer Amphitheater. So Comedy Under the Stars, Thursday, August 17th. Thank you guys for hanging out. You can listen to the full unedited show, davinsden.com. Also on iHeartRadio. Like us on Facebook, Davinsden. Follow us on Twitter, @davinsden. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.